Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest episode. Lucy, how are you doing?
I am good. It's Sunday. Great. I'm tired, but at the same time, you know, Monday. I feel like this week went by so fast.
Yeah, no.
This year.
I hear you.
Bro,
I
was just gonna say,
well, end of September now, really, isn't it?
Like, end of September.
The end of, as we record this on a Sunday. And I think it's only right we celebrate the GOAT's birthday.
Even
though you're listening to this on a Monday or later on in the week, but yeah.
Come on.
The GOAT, the one and only Serena Williams, turns 40,
yep.
Or turned 40 even.
Yeah.
Obviously we all know you love her so much, as we all do.
Yeah. But yeah, come on, who doesn't?
I love the picture you posted as well, actually. I need to like it. The one you took at Wimbledon.
Oh yeah. The one I took, yeah.
Is that 2019?
Yes, 2019, one of the best days of my life. Mate, it was amazing. But it's crazy because, you know, obviously she doesn't celebrate her birthday, Jehovah's Witness,
yeah.
So we accept that. But, you know, we love her too much. We have to celebrate it for her. You know, it's just so crazy, like 40, and you just sit back and if you actually take a minute and look back what she has accomplished,
it's
like
wild.
Is insane, you know, like as a tennis player, as a woman, as a mom, as a black woman, is extremely inspiring, especially for someone like me. Because that's the thing, even before I was even like a proper tennis fan, I was already a Serena fan because she was one of the women that I could look up to. Do you get what I mean? It's like, you know, it all those completely two different worlds. You know, she's in a tennis world and I'm here in a normal world.
Yeah.
I can still relate to so many things. So her being the only black woman in her field, me being the only black woman in my field, like in my office, for example, I'm the only black woman. And the things that she mentioned that she deals with, I deal with them, but that doesn't stop her from being the great. And it's like, okay, I need to do the same thing. I feel there's, if she can do that, and plus with the press and everything getting to her head and stuff, then boy, I can definitely do it. But you know, 23 Grand Slams, hella titles, you know, her and her sister just being, you know, being inspiring to both women and men tennis players. It's just amazing. And we're never going to have any other Serena Williams and Venus Williams. That's the thing.
That's what kind of blows my mind as well. Like you said, with the whole, obviously the 23 Grand Slams, like I read somewhere, because obviously there's been a lot of features like to kind of celebrate her birthday. But one of the features I read, something that really stood out to me was the fact that she's won 10 Grand Slams like in her 30s. And that
it's
right
amazing.
Now, like, yeah, like that kind of, not that it's unheard of, but it kind of is. Like,
no, it is, definitely.
Like, yeah, when you look at obviously the greats, or the what they call the big three, like Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, like they obviously they've won titles or Grand Slams in their 30s, but yeah, most of the winning was done like in their 20s. So the fact that, yeah, she probably played her best tennis like in her 30s as well, to be honest. Like,
which is amazing to see, because it shows that she's just getting better and better.
This is the thing.
The same way, and that's why when people are like being all negative, saying, oh, she's never gonna win, she's never gonna be there, I'm like, bro, like you can see from her first Wimbledon match when she was back from maternity leave till now that she's just getting better and better and better and better. And that's exactly what she was doing before. And yeah, man, it's being here and witnessing her greatness is such a privilege.
No,
and 100%. I can't wait to see her next year again playing, winning some matches. That excitement, that you know, the way my blood is just going when she's on and stuff. You know, the fact that she's 40 and they still see her as a main competitor. Like, these girls today, if they beat Serena, to them, it's like, yeah, that's it. I won.
One of the life goals.
Like,
yeah,
I
am
literally is, and you can't tell me that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like even for her, because that puts her in a position where she knows, oh, you know, I'm the great. So
did you, before we move on, did you see, obviously I'm guessing you did, but we didn't get a chance to speak about it on the pod, the whole Met Gala stuff. Like, so she was there with
I did,
her husband, Venus as well was there.
And then which was even exciting because Venus normally,
that picture with Venus, Serena, and Maria. I love that. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people feel like indifferent or like I don't know.
Do you know what? I feel like every single fan had that little happiness in them.
Yeah.
Because it takes you back to WTA before. You get what I mean? You see that picture and you're thinking like, rah, there was a time.
That rivalry.
Do you get what I mean? And you never think just about them three, thinking about all the other WTA players. So there was a little side of me that was like, I ain't gonna lie, this is nice to see. But then I was seeing too many, I was like, all right, you guys are being too many buddies. But it was so nice
taking like selfies in the toilet and stuff. It just
bro, we saw like 4 or 5 different pictures. Like, oh, I was like, all right, let's stop.
No, I thought it was cute, man.
But at the same time, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of athletes in general, they like that. Like when they're playing, they're on court, it's game time.
Oh,
but outside of it,
yeah,
they respect each other. Love, and plus, most of their issues. They were younger as well and stuff. Like Serena's 40. She's a mom. She's a wife.
Grown.
You know, Sharapova. I think she's about to get married as well. Mm. You know, she's retired. They're both in different, you know, thingies, like position in their life. So it's evident that they're not going to carry all that grudge and hate for so long.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a waste of energy.
They know what they've brought to the game and stuff.
Before we move on, who for you was the best dressed tennis player at the Met Gala?
I actually did. There was Venus because I think her look was inspired by Nina Simone.
Oh, really?
Which
is
very cool. Yeah, even the way her hair was styled and everything. I really liked it. And also Leila Fernandez because her look was inspired by some of Serena's and Venus's look from before.
Yeah.
So having that
like
touch,
white,
I was like,
the black and white dress.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, the theme was, I think the theme was American
New York
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, who else? The greatest, you know, American tennis players. And so yeah, those two were definitely my favorite. What about you?
Yeah. I really liked, obviously Felix looked very dapper in his like tux, the white.
He did. The white blazer.
But I thought Sloane Stephens, I thought she looked stunning.
Yeah, she did.
But no, everyone represented. Osaka as well with her look.
Did you not see how Twitter was going crazy about Mateo? Because it obviously didn't look like, who is this waiter?
Yeah, rude. So rude. And he looked very dapper too. Like, but I mean,
he looked really good, but because he was looking simple and was in the corner, because a lot of people was in the corner, so people were like, wait, who's this star? Who's this waiter? And I was dying. I was like, oh my God.
I really like, well, obviously people have their own opinions of like those kind of events, but I love it when like tennis is kind of like at the forefront. It really did feel like that this year.
I think this is the first time we saw a lot because obviously it was New York Open straight after.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why there was so many. And I really hope that, you know, more tennis players go to these type of things. Like it was kind of,
obviously,
or invited.
Emma Raducanu was there as well. She looked very nice. Like,
fam, so she's getting all checked up. She's where the bag is.
But no, we obviously shout out to Serena, man. And yeah, like you said, we can't wait to see her back in 2022. But yeah, this is going to be a pretty quick show because as much as like things have been happening, not much has really gone down.
Yeah.
So yeah, while we were off, Jasmine Paolini, she won her biggest title to date in
that was so nice
Portoroz, Slovenia. And that was a WTA 250 event. And like she's already won a title this year. So she won it was a 125, a WTA 125 event, but that was on clay. And she's also won a doubles title as well with Jill Teichmann, the Swiss girl. So this is her third title of the year, which is like brilliant.
Nice.
And yeah, she just played some really good tennis. Like I watched pretty much all of her matches. I don't think I watched her first round match. But yeah, I watched her second round, third round, and fourth round. Second round, quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. And yeah, so she beat Diana Yastremska in the second round. Yastremska did actually retire from that match, but she was losing. She lost the first set, and I think she was trailing in the second before she retired. And then she beat Soraya Cristea, who was also seeded, and the second seed, Yulia Putintseva, in the semi-final. And then in the final, she played her best tennis. She beat Alison Risk. And again, Risk was seeded. I think
that was Risk, yeah.
Yeah, I think she was seeded like third. But yeah, just a really, really good week for Paolini. And like, just so good to see her, like, yeah, kind of get her awards, because she works so hard. And like,
yeah,
to kind of, now she's actually winning titles and like, she's really announced herself, I think, to the tour. So hopefully she can build and just continue to
When she's playing for like bigger tournaments and stuff,
which will come on.
So I'm just hoping that, you know, that will, like, her winning that 250 tournament will boost her for the other big ones.
100%. And then on the moving on to the men now. So we, again, the final just concluded on Sunday as we record this. So the Marcel Open in Metz. And yeah, we had Gael Monfils and Mikel Yema both in that draw. So Monfils made a run to the semi-finals. En route, he beat Philip Kohlschreiber in straight sets, and then Nicolas Bachelisvili again in straight sets, and that was in the quarterfinals. And then in the semi-final, he lost to the eventual runner-up now, Pablo Carreño Busta, and that was a straight sets defeat. But I think I watched a bit of that semi-final because I was actually had to go out on that Saturday. But Monfils made a really good start. He was 3-love up in the first set, and then kind of fell away which was a bit sad to see. But again, it's good to see that he's playing like to a level
for him
now.
To make it that far. Yeah, that's is really good.
I think he's over that bad patch that we kind of like spoke about like earlier in the year, like literally putting back-to-back wins together. So that bodes well, I think, for him going forward. And then Mikel Yema, so he was an alternate in the main draw. So I think originally he started off as a qualifier, but got a place in the main draw as like not a lucky loser, but just an alternate. So he didn't have to go through qualifying. And in the first round, he played the German big hitter, Jan-Lennard Struff. And that was a straight sets win, really good win for Emma. That wasn't televised because they don't televise outside courts still on tennis TV.
Right, okay, cool.
Fix up, please. and then Emma ended up losing to, again, Carreño Busta in the second round. And I did watch that match. Really, really good, like high level from Emma in the first set anyway. And then in the second set, like I don't want to say let himself down because that's harsh, but yeah, he just didn't really, he didn't maintain the level basically. And then Buster's just so consistent, like he can just rally for forever from the back of the court. And that's pretty much what he was doing. Just like eventually broke him down. So yeah, that's the Marcel Open wrapped up. Hubert Hurkacz ended up winning that. And I want to say he won the doubles as well. So it's a good look for the pole. His fourth title, I think, in total. And I think first in Europe. So yeah, shouts out to Hubert Hurkacz. And yeah, that's pretty much the roundup of like events. I'm just thinking, is there anything we've missed? The Laver Cup literally happening right now.
Yeah.
As we record. Team World getting absolutely walloped by Team Europe.
To be fair, I kind of expected it.
I think everyone did, to be honest.
Yeah.
But no, shouts out to Felix because he was a debutant. So this was his first Laver Cup. And obviously he's representing Team World, and he's the highest ranked player like in the Team World team. So I watched his match against Berrettini on the Friday, and that was a really, really entertaining match. Like, it was a free setter. Went on for nearly 3 hours. I think it was like 2 hours, 50 something minutes. And again, Felix had opportunities to win that in straight sets because he took the first set, which is quite tight. But yeah, Berrettini just, he's solid. Like, he's top 10. Like, kind of, that's what you expect of him now. But I think going forward, that's going to be a nice rivalry between them. And obviously, they're both friends as well, like, off the court. It was nice to see Felix, like, playing, like, so well. And obviously, with the Laver Cup being, like, Federer and Nadal's, like, baby, kind of. Federer was actually in the stadium, like he's actually there. I think Nadal's like been tweeting or like posting.
Nadal's going around with his yacht in Spain. He's enjoying life for now. Federer actually said that I think him and Tsitsipas were talking, and Tsitsipas, I think Tsitsipas said, "Oh, it would have been great to have you here." Blah blah blah. Because he literally like came out of surgery not too long ago, so that's why I was so shocked to see him there.
And on that so as well, he's saying that things are going well in terms of recovery and stuff. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he sounds more positive than the other surgeries that he had. But yeah, he basically surprised them. Like no one knew he was gonna come. Like he surprised people and stuff, and he was just there with his crutches, and, you know, saying hi, spotting people. But, yeah, I definitely did not expect him there at all.
Yeah, I saw Andy Roddick as well. I think he was there on Saturday, which is cool.
Yeah, they were sitting next to each other and stuff. Yeah,
which is really good to see. Obviously, that was a rivalry as well, like over the years. So no, it's wicked. And I say apparently next year it's coming to London. So it'll be at the O2 from next year.
It's true.
So hopefully there'll be some involvement from a Black Spin global perspective. And
yes.
You'll be in the building.
Yes.
Which would be pretty cool. So yeah, hopefully that's the case. But shouts out Team World. But Team Europe. But I don't think anyone really expected the result to kind of go any other way, really and truly. There have been, I don't really want to spend time talking about like controversy, but there was something.
Might as well.
Yeah, there was there was something I saw from it that kind of made me feel a bit like.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Again,
because the Zverev stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So like Riley Opelka made like a comment. I think McEnroe was like basically, because McEnroe is the Team World like captain. So he was like kind of given like a team talk, not team talk, but just like a G up to, I can't remember who was playing. But whoever they were playing Sasha Zverev. That name is such a mouthful. But yeah, basically Riley Opelka made a comment. You probably all would have seen it now on social media saying, oh yeah, like he said he was innocent too. Like obviously referring to the whole case.
Which was to me was very shitty because it's annoying because it shows that, oh, so you guys are aware, but you don't give a fuck. You're gonna walk past him and spot him and be like, yeah, my guy. You're not going to, do you get what I mean? So that's the thing, it just shows to you that everyone is aware, but everyone is just being like blind to it and stuff. And it's like, if you want to do that, then do it fully, but don't bring it up when it's like convenient for you with stuff like this. Like to me, that was totally like, it was just like, come on, like she could have seen that. Do you get what I mean? So it's like, oh, you know that she's not lying, you know, like the way I see it is, it's either you're involved or don't get involved at all, but don't come and bring it up to throw jabs and stuff. Like it does not.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it, to be honest. And it's very
shitty.
I've got nothing against like Riley Opelka. I think he's a cool guy, but yeah, I thought that was a bit.
That was very unnecessary. That was very shitty of him. Like it was not needed at all. But apparently even them, like the Lever Cup, like they were blocking people who kept on posting the article. Which was not a good look. It's like, bro, like if you guys don't want that, if you edit the way I see it, just leave it. It is what it is. Like, you know, you're more of a bad look if you actually do things like that.
Like silencing,
like silencing people who are trying to, because at the end of the day, it's not going to stop them, number one. People are still going to be tweeting. They don't need to at you. They can use the hashtag. They can use their own account.
Exactly.
They can at everyone. Like, everyone can make something. Like, anyone these days can make something viral. So you deleting or blocking them makes no difference at all. They can make another account in 2 hours, I mean in 2 minutes, and post that link.
True, so
it's very silly, especially when it's stuff like that. It's not like they're posting fake news or posting something that's childish. Like, this is something very sensitive. So I think even afterwards they started posting less pictures of him.
Okay.
So there was a group picture and it cropped him out.
Oh, wow.
And I was dying. I was like, crop. Wow. God. The Diddy, basically, literally, the Diddy crop. I think Adidas even started to do that. But what they do on social media, they don't show him. But if you go on the website, the first thing that you see is him.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously there, you can't go and click and be like, fuck you guys. Why are you guys posting him? Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, they're being very tactical with him. And again, it goes back to when I spoke about this. He's always going to be protected. He's always going to be, you know, like fine, because at the end of the day, the ATP don't want to think where, funny enough, I was watching Athlete A, which is the documentary on the gymnast guy that was, you know, abusing the woman. And one of the reasons why he got away with it for so long is because the US gymnast, like, you know, let's say that's like the ATP body, yeah, and stuff, body, were basically protecting him.
Mm.
So the ATP kind of is kind of doing the same thing. Do you get what? It's not really, obviously it's not the same, but they're protecting him because they don't want that image, that association.
We spoke about it at length, like on the pod before. Well, I think it was actually the US Open preview pod.
Yeah.
You spoke very like passionately about like your views and like where you stand on it.
Yeah.
And I think we're all on the same page in that we just want, basically, yeah, we want things to be resolved.
Exactly.
First and foremost. But yeah, like we want the ATP to acknowledge the fact that, like, yeah, they don't kind of stand by, or they completely,
rather than blocking people.
This is the thing, like show us where you stand, basically. And don't like shy away from it. So
exactly.
Yeah, hopefully things will be resolved in due course.
ASAP.
I want to say well done Team Europe, but really and truly, like, you should really be winning that anyway, so fair play. So yeah, now looking ahead, so we've got a few things going on which is quite exciting. So we've got the Chicago Fall Tennis Classic, which is a WTA 500 event. And that's absolutely stacked. So that's literally happening in Chicago at, I think it's the XS Tennis Center.
Okay.
And Kamal Murray, who was Sloane Stephens' former coach, I think he's like a part owner of that club. So it's a great look. And there was obviously an event there earlier in the year before the US Open. Do you remember where Venus, when Venus played and like she had the whole like black crowd show out for her?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same. I think it's the same venue, but yeah, this time it's a 500 event. But yeah, in that, so we've got Sloane Stephens. She starts against the 13th seed, Tamara Zidancic. And that's going to be a good match, I think. Madison Keys, she's also in the draw. So she starts against Alexandra Sasnovic. And Hayley Baptiste has a wild card, and who's she playing? Jasmine Paolini. So that's going to be an interesting one. Some nice matchups. I think the top seed is Svitolina, second seed is Muguruza, and like Andreescu's in the draw.
This one actually pretty
some
good.
Big players, yeah.
It looks like Kim is back as
Kim Clijsters as well, exactly. Yeah,
and she's playing against Sue as well, which is great.
Oh, wow, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be a nice, well, fun one to watch during the course of this week.
Definitely.
And then in San Diego, so staying in America, we've got Felix, obviously, because the Laver Cup, that was happening in Boston, so East Coast. San Diego, I want to say it's West Coast, I'm not sure though. Apologies. But yeah, he's in San Diego.
It's
West, yeah. For an ATP 250 event. And he's the third seed there. So he gets a bye into the second round. And he awaits the winner between Grigor Dimitrov and Marton Fucsovics. So yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a tough one for Felix. But I expect him to win. I think he did play Fucsovics. Was it Fucsovics? No, I'm getting it mixed up with the other Hungarian, sorry. But no, so yeah, good luck to Felix in San Diego. And also we've got an interesting one happening qualifying. So we've got Darian King, who's spent a lot of time with Sloane this year. Basically training with her, and like, I guess as a coach, to be fair. he's playing Christopher Eubanks in the final qualifying round.
So oh, wow.
The winner gets into the main draw there. So, yeah, good luck. Mm. Good luck to both of them. And hopefully, yeah, one of them can make a run, like, in the main draw, which would be brilliant. Because obviously they both play quite a lot of tennis, like, on the Challenger circuit. Like, they don't really get to play much, like, ATP Tour level tennis. So, yeah, good luck to both of them. And, yeah, good luck seeing them in the main draw. And then in Europe, back in Europe now, so we've got the Sofia Open. That's an ATP 250 event. Gael Monfils, he's playing in that. He's a second seed. Again, he gets a bye into the second round. And he awaits Ilya Ivashka or Pablo Andar in the second round. And Ivashka, he's in, like, great form. I think he's won, like, two titles this year. And, like, obviously Andar is a solid, like, Spaniard, but more of a clay courter. But I think with Monfils playing the type of tennis he's been playing recently, I'd expect him to win against either one of those, really. And yeah, Mikael Immer, he's also in that draw. So he starts against the Australian eighth seed, John Millman. And yeah, that's literally it, Lucy. That's literally all I've got on, like, the rundown.
Yeah, I think people are getting some matches up for the Indian Wells as well, because I think that's the last big tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Left this
year. And it's a combined event as well, which is cool.
Exactly. I do like that. Yeah. So I think that's why people are trying to...
I think Osaka, she's
already, some matches.
She's already pulled out, though.
I don't see her playing till next year. Oh, I need to watch her episode of The Shop.
Oh, that's a great
I
shout.
I would love to.
Great shout.
I would love to. I saw like a clip and stuff where she was, you know, shouting out Kobe and Serena as well.
Yeah.
So I need to, yeah.
No, that's a great shout. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in the next episode. Just trying to think, is there anything else? There's actually nothing else I've got on the rundown. So, yeah, that wraps up.
I think that's it.
That wraps up this latest episode. Probably one of our quickest episodes
ever. In a while.
Compared to the last one, which is like over an hour and a half. It's absolute marathon. But yeah, appreciate you guys for listening. Obviously, keep in touch on social media, Twitter and Instagram and all that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, until next time. Take care.